Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In his message titled, The Time in Between, Reverend David Williams tells us that we cannot have our lives and or events happen all at once. There will always be some downtime. We must remember that God's strength and His Spirit is with us during our entire journey. To help us grow stronger in God's love, we need to take time to encourage others as they progress on their journey. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
We live our lives from moment to moment, from goal to goal, from task to task. And there is in that comfort. We know that tomorrow we have X to do and we will get it done. And we know that the next day there is another thing that needs to be done and that will happen. But honestly, as we go through life, as we move from milestone to milestone, event to event, we realize that most of our lives are spent in the space in between those times, in the space of moving from one place to another, in the space of moving not in certainty, but in places where we're not exactly sure what tomorrow has to bring. In those in-between times, in those times of transition, our hearts can be filled with doubt. We can find ourselves losing the path or wondering where it is we really are going. And in those times, we can lose a sense of ourselves and we can forget God's gracious calling on us. So right now, let's together admit that. Admit that times of transition are hard. Let's do so with a prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious God, when we find ourselves trying to live as disciples, there are days when we have it all together. We know what is expected of us. We know the grace we've been asked to show and the love that needs to guide us. But then there are those times when things are less clear. Then there are times in between moments of clarity. We muddle around, forgetting our purpose. We chase down other paths and pursue darker roads. Though we know our calling, sometimes the call gets muddy in our minds. For our confusion, Lord, please forgive us. In Christ's name, please forgive us. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from the Acts of the Apostles. I'll be reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. You can follow along on page 118 of your Pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Luke writes, "In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he has chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them through 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. There is nothing harder on our souls, I think, than those places in between. Goals we get, they are finite, they're there. Destinations we understand. Clear, nice, neat, described, and describable. We set ourselves to do a particular thing, we're striving towards it, we know where we're headed, there it is, a clear picture in our minds. I've always had those. When I was in first grade, I remember I had a goal. My goal was to be a sixth grader. That was the target destination, because that is as far as life went, because sixth graders, they were these giants. They were almost adults. You know, they wandered like titans through the seas of little quivering kindergartners. That was the goal. Get to sixth grade. You know, all I had to do was do my homework, which I did. And don't punch anybody. Don't get suspended. That could happen. And there you go, sixth grade. That was the target. Or in high school. High school, the goal was graduation and college, you know, in the 85.3% of the time when it wasn't pining over getting a girlfriend. And, you know, the 14.7% of effort that went into things other than getting a girlfriend did miraculously get me into college. And so that worked, made that milestone achieved. And then in college, there was the goal of figuring out, wait, I need to have a clue what I want to major in, and then the goal of graduating. At those stages, you have a clear destination. You can mark the time and check the box and all the sub-boxes and the sub-boxes on those so that you know you will get to that place, get to that day, and get that piece of paper that tells you that you have accomplished the thing that you intended to accomplish. Those times are comforting because they are straightforward, and there is a timeline, and there is an end goal, and there are markers and metrics and measures, and that makes life seem clean and manageable. But then there are places and times in our lives that are not like that, where things are unclear, like adolescence, all of adolescence, that awkward time as you transition between childhood and adulthood, and you don't know what you're supposed to look like exactly as an adult, and you are neither fully one thing or another, and all you know for sure is pimples and blemishes and embarrassment and trying to sing and having your voice not know where it's supposed to go either. Or like when you've graduated and you look at adult life stretching out before you, and you realize, yes, I have that degree, but I don't have a single clue what it is I'm supposed to do with that little diploma I just spent all those years getting. In this Starbucks, you know, I always work at Starbucks. Or when those children that you've just spent most of your adult life raising, you look at them and suddenly they don't need you to drive them anywhere because they do that on their own. And then they're off in the world, and you realize in the absence of this gravitic center around which you have organized every last moment of your life, you don't really know what you're supposed to do with your time now. I mean, macrame, maybe? Competitive yodeling, maybe there are clubs for that. And then there's this flicker of memory. Wait a minute, wasn't I married to somebody? You know? I think it might be the person who drives the kids to karate. It's like, those transitions where suddenly things are very open are hard. What happens now, we ask ourselves. And we ask, and very often the answer we get is just a hint there or a nudge. But we find ourselves in those times, in that place between places, in that time between times. And there is a word for that. It's liminal, for those who like fancy descriptive words from the social sciences, which, being a Presbyterian, I totally do. Liminal. Liminality is a term from the field of anthropology, and it's derived from the Latin word for threshold. It's a crossing over. It's used to describe that tension we feel when we know we're sort of midway through something. We are neither one thing fully or another. We've left an old identity behind, but the new identity isn't there yet. Liminality is ambiguous. It's this anxious and vulnerable place. It's a place where everything feels like it's fluid, or maybe it's solid, or maybe it's a gas, you know, or maybe it's some weird mixture of multiple states all at once, you know, something like quicksand or fusion plasma, stuff the sun is made of. And those spaces that are, and places that are those things, I mean, how much time do we want to spend in quicksand? Not that much. How much time do we want to spend in fusion plasma? Even less time. That's like 1,000,000 degrees Celsius, which in Fahrenheit is really hot. In between times are challenging. And that's where we are in Scripture today. The Scriptures we heard today, the last two of them, are a threshold. They are an in-between place, a time between times. Here we have the first reading from the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke, which is bringing the story of Jesus, that tale, to a close. Here we have teachings, and then whoosh, Jesus caught up into heaven. That first passage is a bridge. It intentionally overlaps with the second reading. Blending verses, it clicks together, creating a connection between Luke's story of the early church and the end of the gospel and Luke's story about the church that was to follow on after Jesus had ascended. We get ourselves into the Acts of Apostles and we get more detail about what Jesus is doing as he prepares to leave the disciples. Here they are, they've gathered together with Christ and they know something is supposed to happen, so there's like a Q&A. At the end of that meeting, and they're like, well, are we done? Is this it? Are we finally finished? Did we finally reach our destination? God's kingdom is finally here, because here you are, and that's pretty wild. So we're done, right? This is that nice, solid point where everything is just going to be. No. Jesus tells them, no, this ain't it. Oh, sure, they had hoped that was going to be it. This is the thing you had moved towards. Here, Jesus arriving to liberate all of Israel, to fulfill that kingdom. But Jesus says, no, this is not the end. This was a destination, not the final place. And they're like, well, when's that going to happen? And Jesus tells them, you don't really get to know that. When are things going to be completed? When is that age going to be fulfilled? That's not for you to know. It's not on the table. It's not to be shared. But there's something else, something they hadn't expected. They ask about the kingdom, and in their asking, they had assumed, well, This is the liberation of Israel. This is our people, our little story, our narrative. And that's not it. There's more. And into that more, Jesus says that they are going to receive power from the Holy Spirit, God's own presence, and then they're going to witness in Jerusalem, and then out into the kingdom of Judea, and then beyond that into Samaria, into the northern kingdom of Israel, and then out to the whole earth. So no, they're not there yet. They hadn't yet arrived. And for the early disciples, that must have been hard to hear. Here, they thought they were done. The travels through Galilee, all the healings and the crowds and the excitement of Jesus teaching and healing and being present, and then suddenly the terror of it all falling apart, of imprisonment and torture and execution and all that pain and the sorrow of the grave. And then this explosive, half-crazy joy of Easter, Jesus among them, and surely that has to be the end. And he's telling them, no, this is just a threshold you're crossing. Oh, really? More? Imagining their frustration at this point reminds me a little bit of a video game, which tells you something about me. This wonderfully crafted puzzle game called Portal 2. Anyone played a Portal game here? Anyone? Anyone? Thank you. Thank you, Trevor. Thank you. In this game, you are this nameless young woman trapped in a vast underground facility as a witty, really witty and malignant artificial intelligence forces you to engage in test after test, trial after trial in this sequence of increasingly complicated three-dimensional exercises that require you to manipulate space itself by creating these gates that you move through. And it's so hard, but you know, made easy with your handy-dandy portal gun, which I won't get into that. One of the things about this game, though, is that time after time, it makes you think you're done. Here's the end. Here you are. You're finally there. You're finally out. And then you realize it goes further still. Oh, you thought that was the exit? No. There's more testing ahead. And that, though he doesn't leave them a portal gun, Jesus is telling them, no, this game, this story, has only just begun. What you thought was the final boss battle, no. Just another step forward. But forward to what and how? How do we get there? And that brings us to verse 8 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts, which is that verse that overlaps with verse 49 of the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Moving forward towards what? Towards this event, this pivot event that is key to the whole story Luke is telling about the gospel and about the early church, to that pivotal moment in the tale. They are moving towards a day. And that day, that happens next week. What's next week and what color do we need to be wearing? Red Pentecost. Pentecost red. Oh, both correct answers. They're moving towards Pentecost. All set. Awesome. Moving towards Pentecost, that day when God's own presence will come down and rise up and fill them. And so next Sunday, Pentecost. Although we are several millennia later. And the truth of it for our story as a faith, for our story as people who follow on Jesus, is that for thousands of years, we find ourselves in this in-between time. Here we thought we had crossed over a threshold and we were done. We have Jesus' teachings. We have the Gospels. We have the cross. And it seems to teach, we hear from Jesus that we have crossed over into a new place. But the challenge is we are not yet done. We have not settled our foot down on the ground on the far side of that threshold. What Jesus has invited us into is a liminal space, is a liminal time. It is a way that is both the goal but also the journey, blended up into one wild and powerful and frustratingly ambiguous mess. That message is both now and not yet. It is here. It is not. It is calling us on. Those anthropologists who came up with the term liminal knew that. And they use that word in the context of a very specific moment in the lives of the tribes and the peoples they were studying. Liminality, places of transition, are at the heart of what it means to be sacred. It's what makes a time sacred. It is powerful, it is dangerous, it is transforming. And it is frustratingly uncertain. But it is also filled with possibility, filled with a bridge into a reality that for us, we don't know yet. We only have hints and whispers. And yes, times of uncertainty are hard on our souls. Whenever we are in transition, moving from one state of being to another, without that, like, I know this is what it is, solidity, it can be hard for us. But as Jesus reminds us at the end of Luke and at the beginning of Acts, this place, this state of being, this time of change, is not something we are required to do alone. We are given the power of God's own Spirit, which is love itself, binding us to the one who created us and calls us on. We are given, in the day of Pentecost that will come, God's own Spirit, which binds us to each other, tearing down the boundaries between persons, between cultures, all those things we set up around ourselves. So yes, times of change are hard. But they are also what calls us on towards that kingdom that Christ came to prepare us for. Let us walk that journey towards Pentecost together. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
As we prepare to move ourselves out into the world, we know that this is a time for so many of transition. It's a time when people are moving from one state of being to another, from school out, from job to another place. And believe me, I know that can feel trying. It can feel like a place where we're not certain in this time of change and flux where we're going. But the message from Acts and from Luke today, the message from the Word is this, that in those times of transition, we don't journey alone. We journey with the strength of the presence of God's Spirit, which God offers up to all of us to help us in the journey. Not just to us personally, but to all of us. That Spirit rests in every one of us so that not only are we sustained, but we help sustain those around us, giving encouragement and song and strength to the people around us when we see that maybe in this time of transition they need a little bit of help and encouragement. And I've gotten that from you, and you get that from each other, and it's something we are all called to share with the whole world. So now, let's go out and in this life that is transition, share that with everyone who needs it. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.